Well, should we open the Bible at Romans chapter 15? And we're going to read verse 14 to verse 21. The theme of this evening is Christian maturity, and we're going to focus upon verse 14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Now John MacArthur, he's a very well-known American preacher. He relentlessly preaches the word of God, expounds it verse by verse. He once said to his congregation of several thousand, he said this, and I'm paraphrasing, "If my teaching at times is very direct and searching, it is not because I have a low estimate of your spiritual health." And then he said, "If somebody asks me when you're preaching, who are you preaching to? I always say, I'm preaching to the committed ones." That doesn't mean he's not considering those on the periphery and those who are unconverted. But what he's saying is, my main message when I'm teaching is to the committed ones, those who are spiritually mature. The fact that he might preach hard things and strong things doesn't mean that he has a low estimate of the church. Now here the Apostle Paul has had to speak very boldly to the Roman church. Verse 15, he mentions that. He's had to speak and remind them of things like the mortification of sin and all sorts of strong teachings. But that didn't mean in teaching these things, he felt that the church was spiritually immature. Not at all. Look at verse 14. He believes that they are full of goodness. As he looks at this church in Rome, many Gentiles amongst them, and his ministry was to the Gentiles. He hadn't actually been there. He'd heard about their faith, not actually visited them when he wrote this letter, but he believed that they were a mature church, what he'd heard about them, that they were full of goodness, moral excellence. They were filled with all knowledge, and they were also able to teach one another. In other words, he believed there were many gifts amongst the believers. They were able to instruct one another, teach and admonish, encourage and edify one another. They were a spiritually mature church. Now, I believe Tabor in many ways is spiritually mature. I'm sure there's nobody who's going to say afterwards, well, we shouldn't have a video on as a one-off for 8 minutes. No, it's a spiritually mature church. A church that's happy to have people who are walking with God, sharing in the services. A church that is seeking to follow the Bible, but also be culturally relevant to those around us. And a church that is really seeking God. That's the key, isn't it? That we seek God. Now we're going to look at this verse, and we're going to consider, first of all, the Christian maturity is in fact about a balanced Christian life, a life that avoids extremes. Paul is very balanced. He knows how to convict. He knows how to command. He knows how to be very direct and challenging. But he also knows how to be very warm and very encouraging to God's people. And we get that in the Epistle of Romans. So he gives some very direct teaching. For example, Romans 8, verse 13. He says this in Romans 8, 13. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Very challenging teaching. He says, as Christians, we're not to live according to our carnal nature. We're not to follow its passions. Rather, we're to starve the sinful nature. We're to put it to death by the Spirit of God, by the help of the Spirit of God, that we might live. He's also said in Romans 12, verse 1, I'm only just picking out a few verses. There are many that we could pick out. He says to the church that by the mercies of God, they're to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is their reasonable service. A very challenging verse. He's saying to this church, there can be no half-hearted Christianity. There must always be a cost in your Christianity. You must always offer your whole self, your body, as a living sacrifice. And that is your reasonable worship. That's mature Christian living, isn't it? Can we say that we're living in that way? What's our commitment like to Tabor Baptist Church? What's our commitment like to one another? What's our commitment like to God? Are we living sacrifices? And then as you go through Romans 12, we've gone through it, there's tremendous challenges in here. It talks about being kindly affectionate. Verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. It talks in verse 13 about distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So these is the way that God wants us to live. By his spirit, with his help. And so the Apostle Paul, as he teaches this very doctrinal epistle, he brings great challenges to the church in Rome. And yet at the same time, he encourages them. Look at the way in which he opens up the letter. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So he says to them, I'm very thankful for you. Often he'll call them my brethren. He's encouraging them. He's saying, I know that you're a church that is alive. You're speaking to others the gospel. And your faith is being spoken of throughout the whole world. People are noticing that there's a group of people in Rome who are different, who have a different message. And believe God, despite persecution, he's encouraging them. And here in chapter 15, verse 14, the verse that we're looking at, again he encourages them. Now, I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren. So he calls them his brothers and sisters. I'm confident that you are full of goodness. Has there ever been a church that you've looked at in the UK and you've said, that church is full of goodness, filled with all knowledge? It's dangerous when we're very pessimistic and always looking at the faults. Sometimes we need to first take the big, huge plank out of our own eye that we would see clearly. God wants us to see virtues in his people. Do you see how Paul is balanced? He knows they need challenging. He knows they need reminding of things over and over again. Verse 15, I'm going to remind you of these things. I'm going to be bold with you. But that doesn't mean that I have a low estimate of you. No, I see that you're mature to receive this teaching and able to receive it. Christian maturity is about a balance, not being soft on sin, but neither being hard on believers. Knowing how to challenge, knowing how to edify and encourage. This balanced life never goes to extremes. You see, Paul in this epistle, he says that I know that in me no good thing dwells. If you'd said to him, well, do you see yourself as a worm? He would say, yes, I do. I see myself as a very sinful in my flesh. I do see that. Romans 7:18. He would say that there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. But he never went to extremes. Whilst he said that in me, in my flesh, in myself as a sinner, there's no good thing, he would say, but in the church, I can see the power of God and you are full of goodness. That's the balance, isn't it? We ought to recognize that we are precious saints. As we've heard this evening, the prayers of the upright, God is pleased with those. But at the same time, confess that we are real sinners. I went to a ladies' meeting recently with Jenny, and very simple, lovely folk from Porth. Dear saints, such sweetness, maybe in their 70s, just loving Jesus. Maybe not got huge doctrinal knowledge of the Bible, but how these old ladies loved the Lord Jesus. It did my soul good. Can we say that of other believers? They are full of goodness. The Bible says that of Barnabas. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. So we need to avoid extremes, don't we? Of course, never being soft on sin. But we ought to acknowledge where God is at work and praise him for that. Do you notice also the balance in these verses? Verse 13 is a prayer, is a desire that they would be filled. In other words, they're not at present continually filled with joy and peace and believing. That's his desire for them. But then in the very next verse, having desired that they will be full of joy and full of peace, in the next verse he says, you are full of goodness. That's the paradox of the Christian life, isn't it? The truth is, as believers, we are complete in him. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's the truth. We are full of goodness by the grace of God. And yet, at the same time, we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to continually grow in our Christian lives. We need continually to know more of God. Although we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, we need to possess those blessings. Nothing can ever be taken for granted. Do you see how balanced Paul is? Verse 14, his desire for them to be filled. Sorry, verse 13, his desire for them to be filled. Verse 14, but yet I can see also that you are full of goodness. Then the second thing I want to say this evening is this. Mature Christianity, yes, it's about the balanced Christian life. But secondly, it is about moral excellence. What does it mean to be full of goodness? Naturally, we're not good. This isn't talking about somebody who has a certain temperament that's better than another person, somebody who's kinder, and their genes are such that they've inherited a certain type of personality from their parents, and they're a little bit nicer and gooder. It's nothing to do with that at all, is it? Goodness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so when he says that they're full of goodness, it's an acknowledgement that the fruit of the Spirit of God is in their lives. Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So how do you determine who is a mature Christian? Is it somebody who's got a big Bible knowledge? Now, we are going to consider in a minute being filled with knowledge, what that matters, what that means. But a big Bible knowledge doesn't necessarily mean at all that a person is mature. A person who is mature is somebody who adorns the doctrine of God by Christ-like character. There's humility there. They're like a tree full of fruit. When a tree is full of fruit, the boughs of the tree, they're near the ground. And that's the mature Christian. He's humble. There's love. The Christian really does consider others and does love them and loves his enemy unconditionally. He's full of goodness. There's a graciousness and a kindness that comes from a Christ-like character. You feel happy to be with such a person. They're approachable. Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Now, in a garden, some flowers seem to stand out more than others. Some catch our eye and seem to be very striking and very beautiful. Well, as you looked at the early church, Barnabas was one of those. His life reflected Christ. But you know, Paul, he looked at the churches and certain churches stood out to him, not the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was immature. But the Roman church stood out as a mature church, full of goodness. The Thessalonian church was a mature church. Paul commended them for their work of faith. their labour of love and their patience of hope in affliction. He said that this church had received the word of God in much affliction, but with the joy of the Holy Spirit. When a church is under persecution, or a church is going through great trial, that's often the test of where a church is at. How does it react under these circumstances? Is it still full of goodness, or is it complaining to God? Do you remember the people of God in the wilderness? When the trials came, it exposed their unbelief. When the difficulties came, it showed them as a mumbling, a moaning people. Persecution is meant to refine us. It's given that our faith would become sharp, that God would burn off the dross. These Romans would face persecution, but Paul was glad that they were full of goodness. There was moral excellence. But then, what else can we say? We've said that maturity is about the balanced Christian life. It's about moral excellence. But then it is about being filled with all knowledge, a sound and comprehensive knowledge of God through the scriptures. Now, as we've said, knowledge is not enough, because in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 5, the Corinthian church, we're told, is enriched with all knowledge. The Corinthian church had many teachers and many gifts. I was enriched with all knowledge. But Paul had to tell them that their knowledge was puffing them up. There were those who felt that they were superior to others. It wasn't a true knowledge. But having said that, a church will never ever grow if it doesn't deepen in its understanding of God and Christian doctrine. 2 Peter 1:5, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. We're called to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're called to read the Bible, to study the Bible, to pray over the Bible. Now, knowledge of God is to be found in the Bible, but as we heard on that video, it's not a theoretical knowledge. It's not that we learn the doctrines and we can do a test and we can get 95% or 100% and we know it in our minds. It's not like that. Of course, we need to understand it, but it needs to be applied to our lives. Stuart Olliott, he says this, that the church today is a bit like a two-legged stool. The legs are this: doctrine and practice. But one leg is missing: experience. I think that's true, isn't it? We can have a correct doctrine, we can seek to live it out, but sometimes it's the seeking of God that's the missing element. Now, I want to read this to you from Spurgeon. Spurgeon, he was giving a sermon on a text which speaks about fathers in the faith. There are fathers, there are young men, there are different people in the church. And he talks about a father as one who has a comprehensive knowledge of the scriptures. These men, they know what they know, for they have thought over the gospel. They've studied it, considered it, and have so considered it to have embraced it with full intensity of conviction. That's the difference, isn't it? You know the word, but it becomes part of you. You're convicted by it. Usually we mean by fathers men who have become developed in grace, mature in character, decided in conviction, clear in statement, and accurate in judgment. These can discern between things that differ and are not deceived by the philosophies which allure the ignorant. They know the voice of the shepherd, and a stranger they will not follow. The church in Rome was like that. It was filled with knowledge. Not just head knowledge, but knowledge which was applied to the life, so they were able to discern things. They were able to know what was right and how to respond in a situation. And their knowledge of God had transformed their characters. And then lastly, what does our verse say, the last thing this evening, about a mature Christian? Well, it says this: mature Christianity means that we are competent to counsel. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, also able to admonish one another. Now that word admonish in the Greek, nuthakteo, means to place in mind. And it's been translated in different ways in different Bibles. To instruct, for example, in the NIV, to exhort in another Bible. It can mean to advise, it can mean to warn, it can mean to encourage. Basically, the word covers all aspects of personal counseling. So Paul is saying to this church, you as members of the church are competent to counsel. Why? Because there's moral excellence in your lives and because you have a comprehensive understanding of the Bible. You live what you believe and you understand what you believe. And because of that, you are competent to counsel. What about us here? Many people, when they're going through traumas, including Christians, seek psychiatrists, secular counsellors, psychologists, and so we could go on. Some get temporary help, some spend a lot of money and get no joy at all. But have you ever thought this? It may be that God will use you. Because of your character and your Christ-likeness and your love of God and your understanding of the scriptures, God might use you to be the counsellor, the very counsellor that that person needs. The very fact that Paul teaches in this way, that he believes that they have the ability to admonish and guide and instruct one another, shows that there was a real dynamic in that church of interaction amongst the believers. They lived closely together. They're able to trust one another, and they're able to teach one another. Body ministry was a big thing in the church at Rome. Yes, we have pastor, elders, men who are called to preach and teach. But the scripture talks about those who are spiritual. And those who are spiritual ought to, for example, help somebody who is falling and bring them back. That's not confined to the leadership. You see, Moses, he once cried out, oh, that all of the Lord's people would be prophets. Oh, that we would all be teachers of God's word, not in a public sense, but in a private sense, because we all have anointing from the Holy One. Surely our text here, in talking about Christian maturity, reminds us of the importance of being together and of strong relationships. You cannot exhort and instruct another person unless you know that person, unless they know you, unless you're sharing your life with them, and then unless they're open with you and you're open with them. It doesn't work, does it, in a cold situation, just sitting alongside somebody and saying, well, I can help you here, and just going into the Bible. No, it's about relationships. This text also shows us that we need one another. We need each other. We can never be lone rangers. I need you to exhort me. You need me. We need each other to help one another in our spiritual lives. Now, this church obviously had a level of maturity that these things were happening in it. So then this evening, we've looked just a little bit at Christian maturity. There's so much more that we could say. Remember, it's about character. It's about how you live. Remember, it's about doctrine and that doctrine being applied to your life. Remember, it's about being equipped to teach another person, come alongside them. Remember, it's about being balanced. But as we want to be balanced about this passage, we also must recognize that everybody has to start somewhere. You don't become mature overnight. When you become a Christian, you're a babe in Christ. And you develop and you grow. And everybody is in process. But even if you're at the beginning of your Christian life, or even if you haven't got as much knowledge of the word as you would want to have, if you're walking with God, if you're praying, if you're seeking him, God will use you just as you are. Tonight, let us make it our aim to know God better, to study the word of God more, to live out the word of God, and to seek him in prayer, that we will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. Amen.